Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I'm talking to Edgar Montero, the CEO of Chemisys International, which trades under the symbol CSI on the Canadian Securities Exchange. Chemisys currently operates in three jurisdictions, the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Colombia. Within this international framework, they have a vertically integrated business with cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, and retail activities. Today we're going to find out how Chemisys navigates the regulatory environment in three very different countries, and what the markets are for Chemisys products. Edgar Montero, welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look.
Hi, how are you? Very good. Yeah. Nice to be with you here today. Edgar, can you start by giving us a bird's eye view of Chemisys?
Well, of course. I think that it is safe to say that we are a manufacturing company. Obviously, yes. We have cultivation in some of our jurisdiction, but it's because it's a need to get the right material to be able to break the standards and actually increase the quality of the products in jurisdictions such as Puerto Rico, California. We recently added Arizona to our portfolio, but as a manufacturer, we're trying to bring not only the best products, but also an offer of consistency to the public, because we are looking the market as it's evolving, and we think that consumers will look after product that will give them the same effect and the same consistency. So I think overall we're a company that is achieving standards and it's creating new markets for new products, and not only in the US, which we are already developed, but in other countries, as you mentioned, focusing in Latin America.
So that's interesting. So in terms of vertical integration, you in a way start from the middle and build up and down. It's not that we're growing a bunch of cannabis and need to find out what to do with it, so we should probably, but that your core DNA is a manufacturer and you're growing products so that you can control your own input.
Exactly. I think that's important because as the industry advances, we're catching new consumers. They're not only patients, they're also yep. people looking for a more holistic type of living, like lifestyle. We're also looking at recreational cannabis. So each niche has a different type, not rules, but I would say formula of success, and yes. we are touching each and every one of them.
Before we go further, Edgar, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. I know that you were born in Mexico. You have a background in economics. You've managed businesses in California. I'd like to know how you became CEO of Chemisys. And also, I believe that you had a friend who had cancer, and this was ended up being a quite important, pivotal point in your life. And I'd like to know more about him and what you did for him.
Well, it's quite a story. It was back in the day. It was early 2000s.
Back in the day could mean anything.
we were in California, and I met with fantastic people that were starting this movement with CBD.
Yeah.
And I wasn't involved in the industry at the time, but they were close friends of mine, and after a conversation, I was very, very intrigued about what they were doing, which was manufacturing CBD products at the time. There was no industry of yes. CBD. There's people barely knowing about it. And I happened to have a friend that has cancer for 10 years, metastasis for 9 years.
Yeah.
And after the last surgery, doctors were like very concerned about his future. And they basically let us take on CBD product,
yes.
and it was just marvelous. The development of his prognosis was outstanding, and we were able to help him out for 18 more months, and that changed completely the way I look things, mm. and make me to go not only as an investor but I wanted to participate hands-on the project. So after a couple of weeks, I was able to get a deal with that company, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Many years later, we are leading this company that I believe is going to be one of the greatest competitors in the space in the near future.
In terms of what the CBD, how it helped your friend, I'm assuming we're not claiming that CBD can cure cancer, but it more about symptom alleviation of symptoms, improving the quality of his life.
Yeah, remember one thing, CBD and cannabinoids, what they do, they enable the body to cure itself. And in a way, we are just giving the tools for the body to make their own compounds and to level and balance itself. So with no statement whatsoever, but I think that the combination of factors, the fact that he was wanting to keep going, that whole combination make it happen. And I was very fortunate to be able to contribute. And that changed my life.
Yes. Your business has divisions in cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, and retail. But a hemp farm in Puerto Rico means something very different than a grow up in California. So I think it makes more sense for us to talk first about the countries, to talk about chemists in terms of geographical territories.
Of course.
And I'd like to start with Puerto Rico, where you have a home and you have a base and a lot of knowledge.
So, well, we started very early in the game in Puerto Rico. We were able to go to help to start the industry there back in 2015, when the governor signed an executive order to create a cannabis industry. We were one of the first players there. And
Medical cannabis.
Medical cannabis, yes. And we got our license early. Well, we were the first manufacturers, the third license of cultivation. And since then, we've been servicing the patients in Puerto Rico. And it's very curious because it was the first Spanish-speaking jurisdiction in the North Hemisphere. And that gave us the opportunity to go and jump into other opportunities, such as Colombia.
Right.
So, and California, obviously, that was a natural step for us as a public company. But yeah, we started the industry in Puerto Rico, and it was an incredible experience.
September 20, 2017, Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, killing 3,000 people and wiping out a lot of the island's medical marijuana crops. Yeah. How did that event affect your business?
Well, at that time, we weren't part of Chemists International, and it was a very complicated moment. The force of the hurricane was something that haven't seen before on the island. And actually, if people doesn't know, it went across the island at a 30 mile per hour pace, which basically destroyed the infrastructure in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we had our generators and our staff down there. It's just incredible. And we were able to maintain the infrastructure. However, the upcoming months were very, very difficult, but we were able to control the situation, keep the distribution going. We had enough resources and inventory to assist the population there. And I think that the market really appreciated that effort and paid us back with loyalty in our product lines, and we're very happy to continue servicing Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Puerto Rico isn't the first jurisdiction that comes to mind for your average cannabis investor, but in fact, the numbers are very significant. According to Puerto Rico's medical marijuana page, there's 72,000 patients have signed up for their program. And the health authorities anticipate 100,000 new patients by 2020, next year.
Yeah, the government is making a lot to enhance the program of cannabis. And as a matter of fact, the governor just signed an order that will waive the fees for cannabis patients for at least 6 to a year until we get to 120,000 patients. So that's a good news for us, because and that gives us a little help. We acknowledge the effort of the government to help the program move forward. So we're very pleased about that.
What would be a typical medical profile of a patient, a cannabis patient in Puerto Rico?
Well, we are allowed to treat 18 different conditions.
Yeah.
So the Department of Health on the website, you have a list of conditions, but I can tell you.
Sort of the top three or four, I'd be interested in.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Epilepsy,
yeah.
Multiple sclerosis,
yeah.
Fatigue, depression. We have MS, I mentioned that, anxiety. So there's a variety of conditions, and that gives us the opportunity to not only serve a niche of patients, but it's a big array of conditions.
Do you need, in Puerto Rico, do you need government approval to buy CBD, or is it just THC?
Well, it's a very interesting question. Just very recently, the Department of Health allowed manufacturers to get CBD products. That enabled us to have a complete new line of products that we can sell through our channels, through the dispensary network. And that happened very recently. I think it was 3 weeks ago. So that's why we are very pleased that we make the right move by having this brand that we bought a couple months back, Vivarian.
Yes.
And that gave us this advantage to be first in market. So obviously the patients in Puerto Rico received the brand really, really well.
Yeah.
And that will be seen in obviously in our reports.
Yeah. Tell me more about Vivarian.
Vivarian, well, it's a brand that we bought that has a unique formulation. We are seeking more to reach out new lifestyle type of products, and we started with some blends to capsules and tinctures that allows the patients or consumers to have a more holistic approach to their nutrition.
Is it pure CBD or is CBD THC mix?
No, Vivarian will be CBD only.
Right.
And but that enabled us to make more formulations in the future. And obviously, we're considering put THC to enhance some of the characteristics of our blend.
For a Puerto Rico generated CBD only product, what are your export? What is your export potential?
Well,
let me rephrase that. What is your export reality now, and what is your potential?
Well, at this point, executive branch already initiated the hemp program in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So at this point, seeds has been tested. The regulation has been written. As a matter of fact, this week, the Department of Agriculture is going to finalize the process going to Hawaii to get the final draft that is going to be presented in June to the USDA. After that, we are expecting to get all the regulatory framework by the end of June and start with the licenses in July. So in July, we're going to be able not only to grow, but in those regulations, we are very confident that we're going to receive also the export license, which will allow Puerto Rico to be a big player, since the geographical position of Puerto Rico allows for more sunlight during the year, and that gives us the advantage to have more crops.
I see. So first, you need Puerto Rico's permission to export, and then you need to find a recipient country that says, yes, we'd like Puerto Rican.
With the USDA regulation, is going to be as simple as any other crop.
Yeah.
So, and we're looking at this in Kentucky and in other jurisdictions. We're watching the same happen in Colorado. So we are just a little bit more well-positioned in terms of the agricultural side of things.
Yes.
So that will be our advantage.
Yes.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
Puerto Rico's issued 77 dispensary licenses, of which 41 have already opened. What is your assessment of the demand curve in Puerto Rico?
It's growing, and it's going to be, that tendency will continue, I would say, for the upcoming years. And the reason why is culture in Puerto Rico, they are very well-versed in cannabis.
Yes.
We, as an industry, not saying that it was solely effort, but I think that we helped to change the mindset about cannabis in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Because we took it with such professionalism. The investors and the companies down there really made a great job educating people. It's what makes the people more confident. And we are looking at the numbers increasing every month. So it's increasing steadily, and I truly believe that this will be the path to get not only medical, but in the future have also recreational use in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I think, you know, in general, if you have a retail product and it requires you to educate your consumers, that's considered an extremely bad thing. But the buzz around cannabis, yeah, around CBD is so big that there is just a hunger to learn. Exactly. My father has cancer. He's asking me about it.
Yeah. I think that as an industry, we are breaching a lot of taboos.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that now there's a general consensus that cannabis will help you profusely, regardless if you have a condition or not. Because it's a holistic approach, and I truly believe that that people that were opposed at the beginning now are changing their minds, because it's really working.
Tell me about the production profile of your Puerto Rico cultivation facility, and also your partnership with Vivid Grow that uses a smart farming system.
Yeah,
I'm interested in that.
We were growers since 2016, but we use most of our production to generate our manufacturing goods.
Yes.
We want to change that, because we know that flower production is also another avenue where we can generate more revenues. And as a rounded company in Puerto Rico, we want to expand our cultivation to be able to get not only our requirements for flower, for manufacturing, but also to sell to the dispensaries. So we look for a partner that has the knowledge and the technology to help to get us go through. And we chose Vivid Grow. They have this very special technology with LED and their smart services. And it's been great so far. The production is increasing. Obviously, one of the things that are very enticing is the electrical consumption on LEDs, and I think that with their technology, all the negative aspects of using LED are already resolved, you know, with this new technology, and we will see the results very, very quick, as soon as our next crop goes to market, and we are estimating to have such success.
Edgar, in the new year, you announced that your 100% owned subsidiary Natural Ventures has entered into a licensing agreement to produce Dragon Glass for GSRX Industries. Can you tell me a bit about Dragon Glass and the potential markets?
Yeah, but there's different formulations, and one of the aspects of the cannabis industry will be the research and development. And Dragon Glass, it's a special formulation that allows a rapid absorption of the cannabinoids by ingesting, could be THC or CBD, through this new compound.
Yeah.
And it's going to be water soluble, and that we're expecting, obviously everybody is different, but we expect that the absorption is going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. So if we infuse, for instance, our edibles with that technology, we'll be able to have the effect instead of an hour and a half, 2 hours that it usually takes for an edible to be absorbed in the body. We will start looking the results of that consumption in less than 15 minutes.
Is it also the case, so the uptake is quicker, the psychotropic uptake is quicker, is it also true that the release is quicker?
The release, we are working, and one of the part of the formula is to make it long-lasting. And that is one of the qualities of Dragon Glass. So that product is going to be available very, very soon. Yeah. We are just making the last adjustment on the formula in Puerto Rico, so that will be available soon. And we are always looking for new delivery methods to give them the patient different options, because we know that what works for you can be help others, but there's also different type of metabolisms. And we are developing new methods for those different, I want to say, bodies that metabolize differently.
Yes, yes. Well, that's very interesting. I think your Puerto Rico story is largely overlooked by the investment community. I don't think people realize how big it is, both as a standalone market and for you to develop strategies that can be deployed in other Latin American countries like Colombia, which we'll get to.
And also for the U.S. market. Remember that Puerto Rico used to be pharmaceutical mecca.
I did not know that.
Back in the 50s and 60s, 70s, almost 70% of all drugs consumed in Canada and the U.S. were manufactured in Puerto Rico. And the knowledge is there. The routes, the connection that the pharmaceutical company did back in the day, we are going to be able to use them now in the future. So as a play, I think that Puerto Rico makes a lot of sense, not only because today we're generating revenues, profits out of that asset, but in the future, when we see the maturity of the industry, which I, in my opinion, is still in its infancy, I truly believe that Puerto Rico will become a hub for not only to connect North to Latin America, but also to connect North America to Europe, for instance. And we are well positioned in Puerto Rico.
Let's fly across the country and talk about California.
Of course. Let's do that. So California, we know that's the biggest market in the world right now, and it's going to be such for a long time. And we need it as a strategy to have our footprint there. And we chose to be in the Valley, Palm Springs area.
Yeah, so Cathedral City.
Cathedral City in specific. We bought this this asset called California SAP, SAP Global. And it's been an incredible experience. We actually are able to produce manufacturing goods, specifically oil, either crude oil or distillate, for not only for retail consumers but also for wholesale clients.
Right.
And our capacity there with that asset alone, it's about 100 kilos per day.
Wow.
Optics. So
who's giving you, where are you getting the flour from?
Well, there's a various source.
Various
source. For us, it's important to meet every aspect of the regulation. So we mandate all our vendors to have laboratory testing. I don't know if you're aware, but or our listeners are aware, but the regulations are very, very strict.
Yes.
And you need to pass every lab testing there is in California in order to manufacture the products. So for us, have an array of vendors give us that reliability on getting the right product, raw material, and in the right amount.
I know there's like a hierarchy of certifications you need to be able to produce oil in California. How does that work? Do government officials visit your facility?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. They need to be aware of what we're doing, and how we're doing it. We receive inspection in every jurisdiction we are, and I think that helps us to continue meeting the standards and to be compliant. I would say that it's necessary, we're always prepared to receive the authorities to certify that we're doing a great job.
Is there some, I'm going to call it cross-pollination between what you learn meeting the standards in one jurisdiction, something you could learn by meeting the California standards that you can then apply to Puerto Rico?
100%. It goes back both ways.
Yeah.
I think that at the end of the day, what everybody wants is top quality and to be safe for consumers. And I think that the regulations are very, very alike. And it will be a time in the future that will meet the same regulation for everybody. So, but we as a multi-state operator, we follow the higher standards of them all.
Yes. What do the economics of the California manufacturing plant look like, the financials?
Well, it's for this year, overall the company it's moving towards to meet the projection that we gave at the beginning of our endeavors, and I think that the largely is because we were able to execute our plan accordingly. And I think that for this year, not only California, but the rest of our assets are producing revenues, which is something that I don't want to say rare, but I think that it's very good for a company that it's starting.
Yeah, you're a very, very new company.
That we have all our assets owned by us and also producing revenues. And I think that something that the investors are thankful for, and I think it's going to be a tremendous year, 2019 for us.
What is Desert Zen?
Desert Zen, it's another asset that we have in Cathedral City, and has a light manufacturing license to produce pre-rolls and other such products, but it's more a distribution asset that we have.
Yes.
With that, we can bring some brands to the dispensaries. We can distribute some other people's products. But basically what we are using it for is to reach out to all the dispensaries to get our products out.
I see.
And it was particularly good for us at the beginning of the year, because we were able to capture a lot of attention from the dispensaries and built out a network that is serving us now to continue delivering products.
Why is it better for you to have that distribution network in-house rather than using one of the many?
Well, remember that Desert Zen was one of the very first distribution companies allowed to do business in California last year. So that was important for us because we don't rely on a third party. Now, 2019, there's a bunch of distributors down there, and we use them regularly. But having the opportunity to do the distribution ourselves also helps us out to maintain a balance.
Edgar, many cannabis companies are signing endorsement deals with good rappers like Snoop Dogg and bad musicians like Gene Simmons. Sorry, was that mean? You signed a deal with Jay and Silent Bob, and my boss, Chris Perry, who's no dummy, considers Kevin Smith and Silent Bob to be one of the top three best endorsement targets for any cannabis company anywhere in the world. So I'm curious how you found them. Well, you can find them on the internet. How you got them and what you're going to do with them.
I think that the synergy was there since the very beginning when we started the conversation. And I think that good people comes about. And I think that that they bring so much value and happiness, I would say, when we meet them.
Just the way they're tweeting about Canvas is so joyful and funny.
But it was very synergetic. I would say that, and I think that after they visit what we have in California, they got to know us a little bit better. I think that catapulted the relationship, and it's been great for us.
Yeah,
I think that people are aware that Bob and Silent Bob is such a nice endorsement, but the products that we're doing with them are so joyful, and working with them has been a great pleasure. I think that is going to be one of the top brands for 2019, no doubt about it.
Yeah. What I don't know anything about celebrity endorsements as a shareholder, and I am a shareholder. How would I see their presence? Like, I don't really know how it works. Would they be tweeting? Will they be appearing at corporate events? Or
in this case, I would say it's all the above. The how it works with us, they need to believe in what we're doing.
Yes.
And the endorsement comes naturally. And he's in our events. He's tweeting, not only because it's a deal, but because he wants it to. I think that's important, and you can see it in his tweets and in his endorsement. It's just so natural because we are doing great products for him. So it's working pretty well for him.
Yeah, and they really do have such awareness and love.
Yeah.
For Kevin Smith and his movies and his personality. And in a funny way, I think he's even more loved as a storyteller than he is as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
People just love him to tell stories, which is great.
On his events, it's pure magic.
Yeah. About a month ago, you announced plans to purchase a cannabis manufacturing facility in Arizona that's already up and running, generated about $1.3 million last quarter. Tell me a little bit about that.
That is a 5,000 square feet facility.
Yeah.
And we are manufacturing CBD products.
Yeah.
It's a great asset, as you mentioned. It's already operational. And that's something that I like about what we're doing. We want to produce revenues right away. And I think that's something that every investor will thank.
Yes.
And Arizona will bring us that as well.
With your Arizona CBD products, is the input hemp or cannabis? Or
hemp.
Hemp, pure hemp. Where can you sell Arizona CBD?
Well, right now we're going to start a local distribution.
Yep.
But obviously we're looking forward to do it nationwide.
Got it. Can you legally do it nationwide now?
With the new farm bill,
yes,
under USDA regulation.
Yeah. Finally, let's talk about Colombia.
It's a great story. As I told you, we were very fortunate to be able to comprehend regulation way before we started in Colombia, and I think that. When we got there, we were so privileged to start the conversation with one of the very first companies in the space. And Finca Interactiva is that company. We got our licenses, and what we are looking now is that we are expanding rapidly the amount of business we can do there. There's going to be an announcement. Unfortunately, it's on the make, it's on the works. But very shortly, you will have an update of Colombia.
Great.
That hopefully will be very enticing for you as a shareholder,
mm-hmm.
and for all and for the rest of our investors.
Mm.
But good things are coming out from Colombia.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well, it's been a very good year for Chemisys. Your stock is up about 300% in the last 12 months. You have a market cap of 147 million. Can you talk about your milestones for the next 12 months?
I think that the most important thing for us is obviously continue growing our revenues. I think the milestone that we set for these years, we are accomplishing each and every one of them. Obviously, having established distribution in California, it's one of them. Mm-hmm. Get our hemp farm going also in Puerto Rico.
Yes,
we have an offtake agreement with First Medical Cannabis.
Yes,
it's a great partner.
Yeah,
and they actually are part of the health system in Puerto Rico, helping hundreds of thousands of people already, and that is something that we are very we're waiting that to happen very, very soon as well. Colombia, it's we're increasing our presence, and that is something that will be available and it will be a milestone to hit in 2019. For 2020, obviously continue our expansion. I think we are ready and we will be ready to expand to another country. And I look forward to have that opportunity. I think Latin America is open up pretty well, and for us will be a good play to have. Obviously, we are looking at Europe as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but I think that the story needs to be coherent with what we're doing,
yeah,
and obviously keeping the manufacturing as a forefront of what we do. And continue making product that people love and engage with, and that I think is going to be our plan for the near and for the long term future.
Thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. I've learned a lot. I'd like to talk to you again in a couple months.
Perfect. It will be my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus: A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.